You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
It's Monday, June 26th, 2017. And this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the King, Scott Angle. You okay, Scott?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
No, all right. And Wall Street Mac and Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. Happy Monday to you all. We are happy to have you here, of course, aboard on a Monday morning here. Very, very nice outside. Nice weekend here. And I'm excited to get rolling as we head toward 4th of July weekend this weekend. Corey, what's going on, man?
What's the deal with you, Greg? Getting ready to, like you said, getting ready for this upcoming 4th of July weekend. Time to really start getting serious about the upcoming 2017 NFL and fantasy football season. So I'm looking forward to that.
Scotty, how are you, man? How was your weekend?
Good, relaxing. Did some work and then laid low for the other half of it. Just got some rest and well-rested and raring to go for some fantasy football, more fantasy baseball.
There you go. Absolutely. Matty Mo, how are you doing, buddy?
Doing well. It's beautiful outside. It really, really is. We're going to reach the halfway point in fantasy baseball this week, you know, by the end of the week, and fantasy football. If you haven't been paying attention, now is the time.
When we're halfway to baseball, so at the end of this week, how far back do we have to be in it?
You definitely want to be in the top half of your league.
Okay.
And like I said, this is the first half. There's still a full second half. And as we know, no matter if it's just a home league or a high stakes league, there are people who are going to drop out.
Sure.
And you can make up tons of points in August and September. I mean, there's been leagues where I've been in first place at the break where I finished out of the money. So don't just like give up now and say it's too late, it's over. It's only just begun.
Yeah, there might be a feeling like, if you're sitting in fourth place or you're sitting like maybe in seventh, but you have around 80 points, like you feel like you can't get over a hump. There's still a whole half season to go, and I've seen a lot of leagues where you can see like 10, 12-point leagues like dissipate within a week and a half. So you just got to keep at it.
Billy Hayes, by the way, talking some trash for the GST League this week on Twitter. I like it.
I heard he was talking trash to me at some point.
What was he saying this week? He said that with Freddie Freeman coming back, he's going to release the Kraken.
Oh,
he's in second place now, and you know he's coming for everyone.
I like the passion. On the program today, we're going to talk. We're going to talk some football because I want to talk about, and I know we kind of mentioned some of these players. We'll go a little bit more in depth on them, right? Some of the players that are gone maybe to start the year, but I don't think we should forget about them. Well, that's just me. We'll see what everybody else here, of course, on the panel thinks. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we're also going to get to a little Shark Tank because I want to know, you guys have been drafting, and we're talking about football for like a month or so now. Let's go outside the top 100 and find a player that you want to sell to the rest of the group. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. We're rocking and rolling here on a Monday morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and, of course, live on the Fantasy Sports Network as well. Roto Experts continues right after this. In the morning back here with you on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You can actually chat live inside the Fantasy Radio app right now. And not only that, but you can chat while reading the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package available right now at rotoexperts.com. It's our premium package. It is out there right now. Use Freedy Radio when you check out. We'll give you a couple of dollars off. It is well worth it. It gets updated every single day. Please do not draft without purchasing the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package available right now at rotoexperts.com.
Free radio for a special discount and check out our new angles on contract year players.
There you go. Contract year players is actually an article I've written in the past for RotoExperts.com. That's one of of my favorites to always read. Check out what the author is saying about contract year players. And briefly, guys, let me go into that for a moment before I go into some of these players. Maddie, do you believe in the contract year player?
Not really, be honest with you. I mean, I think it's like the age 27 kind of thing to me. You know, some guys step up to it. Some guys, you know, maybe crack under pressure. But I think all in all, no.
I would say it depends on the player. I don't think anything's absolute. I think football is a game of emotion and motivation. So I think for certain players, it does apply.
Corey?
Yeah, like I said, I think it's certain players. Like it depends on how greedy the player is. Like if it's DeSean Jackson in the contract, yeah, he's probably gonna play well. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
That second year though, you don't want to own him that second year. So it really depends on the player and how the player carry it. Usually kind of be trying to chase that bag all the time, but you know, certain cats, they just don't do it.
Didn't
all the
Doug
time.
Doug Martin have a big year in a contract year?
Sure.
Doug Martin, yeah. He led the league. Yeah. He was paid. Second in the NFL in rushing. He didn't get paid though. He still, I mean, I.
You got paid. You got a contract for sure.
He had that one. He had two good seasons.
Oh, I understand. And then he got paid by the Tampa Bay Bucks. That's why he's still on the team.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think he didn't break the bank. He didn't
running
hit their head.
It's very rare running backs break the bank at all.
Yeah, that's true, too.
So, to be fair, I think where I am with contract years, we talked to the sports psychologist that was here about this exact thing, and they were basically saying that it depends on the player. It depends on the personality of the player, kind of like what Corey was saying. And I don't know about the grit, but certainly, you know, some players are more apprehensive, right? The guy doesn't want to run across the middle because he's petrified of getting laid out and losing all his money, so he's a little bit nervous. Other guys say, I'm going balls to the wall because this is my one chance to get paid.
Yeah.
So it totally depends on the player.
No doubt.
So for more information on contract year players, head on over to rotoexperts.com inside the premium package, and you'll see what we think about each player in their contract years.
So we can chat on the app?
Yes.
I need to pull it up because I know people want to talk to me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Did you get it up?
A chance to interact with the fans.
Why Snapchat
executive?
Up then? I'm very confused. I'm just kidding.
Oh, I'm about to say. I'm not, you know, the Snap. It's kind of crazy. I'm trying to find the chat. The chat.
No, if it's not there, you have to refresh your update the app.
I got to update the app.
You got to update the app.
Yeah. Let me update the app and then y'all can chat with the fantasy executive.
Live on the air.
While I'm here.
Guys, speaking of Doug Martin, I'm actually really glad that that's who Corey brought up. Because Doug Martin's a name that I want to talk about. Because I know Corey, for one, he doesn't fool with Doug Martin. He's not a thing. He's suspended for the first couple games of 2017, much like Kenneth Dixon is, who we're going to get to in just a second. But Doug Martin, the only time we've talked about him, seemingly, is in reference to Jaquizz Rodgers. I know how high Corey is on Jaquizz Rodgers. But the Tampa Bay Bucs did nothing to address their running game situation. Yeah, Quiz is back and Charles Simmons is healthy. But overall, they've done nothing. And you read everything, of course, this offseason that Doug Martin's in the best shape of his life.
They did draft a running back, right?
Did they?
They draft Jeremy McNichols, but he's a third down type back.
He's a third down back. He's another Jaquizz Rodgers. Ultimately, this team did nothing to seriously fix the running back problems. They didn't bring in Adrian Peterson. They didn't bring in an Eddie Lacy, a Latavius Murray, anything like that. They brought nothing besides, you know, a third down back. And to me, I read these, okay, Doug Martin's in the best shape of his life. He's sober now. His mind is clear. And you read all of that.
I didn't know he had a drinking problem.
He's suspended for it. Oh, yeah.
I thought he was suspended for, okay, my bad.
No, he's suspended for a drinking problem.
I'm sorry to hear that.
So, he's sober now, he's clear, he went to rehab, everything's totally different for Doug Martin. And now here he is, suspended for the first few games, and nobody really wants, at least from my understanding, nobody really wants Doug Martin. Scott, let me go to you here first. Are you part of that crowd that nobody wants Doug Martin?
I think every player at some point, you know, well, you'll take him in a draft, but you know, Martin is inconsistent and unreliable even when he's playing, so I'm not big on Doug Martin. You know, if I get him as my fourth RB, which maybe I won't, you know, I'll take a crack. But, I don't know that I'm in on any of these Tampa Bay running backs. This team is going to be throwing a heck of a lot.
They are going to throw a heck of a lot. But at some point, I think they are going to try to run the ball as well. And someone's going to score touchdowns, I think. So, Matt, I know where Corey stands on Doug Martin. I know you're not a big fan of him either. But at some point, as Scott said, you're interested in everybody at the right price. What's the right price for you and Doug Martin right now?
It's got to be double digits. Right now, he's going like the end of the eighth, beginning of the ninth. I'm just I don't know. He's had two good seasons, as Corey says. He's a guy that's going to need the volume. When he got 1,400 yards in both those years, he had, I think, over 300 carries 1 year and just under 300 two seasons ago. This is a guy coming off of rehab for drinking, as you previously mentioned. He's going to miss the first three or four games. I think it was four. Did he get reduced to three?
I'm not sure.
But whatever, three or four games. I think this is going to be a more pass-happy offense. As we've seen with Winston, he's thrown 4,000 yards pretty much the last two seasons, around 600 attempts he's gotten close to. I think that expands. I don't know. He's not a guy for me. I'm not a Doug Martin believer. I know he does have some support out there. Some people do really like him late. I mean, I don't think it's a bad pick if you take him there. I'm probably going to go in a different direction, though.
I'm definitely going to go in a different direction. I like the fact that you can get quizzed so much later on. People are so not up on it. He's going undrafted right now. He's going to be the starting running back for at least the first three or four games of the season. I don't see Doug Martin coming in there and putting Jaquizz Rodgers on the bench.
So I think we said that last year, too, when Jaquizz Rodgers like carried the ball 40 times that game. And we're like, all right, Jaquizz Rodgers isn't going to go to the bench. And he did.
What do you mean he did go to the bench?
When Doug Martin was supposedly coming back last year, didn't Jaquizz Rodgers, who rushed like 40 times one game, then eventually go to the bench?
Doug Martin only played 30 games last year.
He had 30 carries for 101 yards against Carolina. Then he had 26 for 154 against the 49ers. But then he was down to 19 against Oakland. And then all of a sudden, against San Diego, he was down to seven.
A month later.
I think this could be a timeshare / committee when it's all said and done.
Right. And I tend to agree with that. But Doug Martin, as Matt just said, he's going about the eighth round, end of the eighth round, you said. And you wanted him to go in the 10th in order to get him.
Yeah, I mean, it's the way that I set up my teams, it's all about how you do it. I mean, if you want to get him as somebody with depth, okay, I'm fine with that. But I might be taking a Sam Perine at that point.
Okay.
I think he has a chance. I like that offense better. I just think there's too much baggage with Doug Martin. And, you know, or maybe I'm getting my tight end at that point. You know, I'd rather have a Kyle Rudolph at that spot where Doug Martin's going, a guy that I know is going to be very involved in that offense, a guy who's going to be a red zone target, a guy that Sam Bradford relies on. So I consistently say, you start your team off, I try and go best player. I like to go wide receiver heavy. So as I'm setting it up, I'm gonna look at things a little different. You know, at that point in the draft, I'm probably going for a tight end.
But so what's interesting to me is you talked about how you go wide receiver heavy to start off your drafts. We've talked about this a lot, you and I. And you take shots on running backs. Like Danny Woodhead's always winds up on your teams. You take some other shots. But isn't Doug Martin the kind of shot you should take, really? We're talking about around the 10th round, a guy that, like, hey, he comes back from suspension. He could be an RB1. We've seen it before.
I'm not really big on guys coming off of a suspension. It's not something I really look to. Somebody wrote a good article, I can't remember who it was, about like guys that go on suspension and never really come back. So I wish I knew who wrote it. I wish I had top of my head and I could tell people to go read it. It's, you know, to me, I'd rather take a Jamal Williams that's going in the 10th round.
Right.
I mean, I have guys, and I don't know, I just... Not that, and you know, I just don't like the fact. I know you said best shape of his life. I've heard this about Doug Martin so many times. And look, he has shown at times that he can be a good NFL player. I don't know. And what if this guy has a setback? I don't want to have to rely on that. He's been clean and sober for how long?
I think Tampa Bay fans and fantasy players are tired of a guy called the typewriter because he sits at the line, he hunts and pecks, you know, for like 10 or a dozen carries and doesn't get much yardage. And all of a sudden, boom, he breaks the big play. And that's the style of runner that Doug Martin is and why I don't like him, because you talk about volume, but when he gets 300 carries, eventually he's going to break some big plays. He has to have a huge game, you know, in order for you to cash in with him. I feel like he's not consistent on a carry-to-carry, week-to-week basis.
Matt made an interesting point just a moment ago that he's kind of out on suspended players because he doesn't trust them. Flip on another suspended player, another suspended running back. What do we return? This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So we're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And, all right, so I couldn't convince anybody on Doug Martin, seemingly. I think I'm at the end of the 10th round, but I think it was clear. It's fine. You guys can take a shot. Only because I think there is some upside here, and there's pretty much worse players I can take. And I feel like I have a shot with Doug Martin. Coming back 3 games later and having some success. Of course, they could, like, work him into the offense, and then he never gets on the field. But I understand some of the apprehension, as I mentioned, for Doug Martin. But Matt, as I said just a moment ago, you said that you don't really love the suspended players coming back because their roles aren't secure. We'll have no idea what shape they're in when they come back, and you can't necessarily trust them. Well, another suspended player, that running back really, that is going, that is interesting, is Kenneth Dixon. Now, Dixon is a year two player for Baltimore, and in front of him, you have the guy you're drafting anywhere in Danny Woodhead. You have Terrence West, who's going to be the goal line back. Everyone was kind of talking to me over on Friday that everyone hates Terrence West. They're not doing this Terrence West thing again. So now we get to Kenneth Dixon, suspended for 4 games, but he's still very, very young. He should come back and have some value, but is he not someone who's going to wind up on your team?
No, see, Kenneth Dixon's going like 2.5 rounds later than Doug Martin. Kenneth Dixon, you know, that was his rookie season. So this is a young player that they really believe in, that they do want to see. I think this is a good, talented young player and a person that could coexist with Danny Woodhead. I can get much later. Say I take Woodhead in the 6th, and I can get Dixon in the 10th or 11th. I'm fine with that. I have protected myself. I'm not really the handcuff guy, but if I want to say I have a handcuff or a guy that might take over at some point, but I think they both can be a part of the Ravens offense, especially when Dennis Pitta went down.
Yeah, ideally you don't want Woodhead running the ball. You want him complimenting the runner. And, you know, this kid is, you know, he's fresh. You know, he doesn't have any really NFL tread on his tires. Only 4 times last year did he have double-figure carries, and he scored touchdowns in 2 of the final 3 games. So I think they want to give him a look. You look at a guy like Terrence West, and to me, he's just a body there that just is kind of like a placeholder. You know, they want a kid with more upside, and I think Dixon would give them more upside.
Corey, you like Kenneth Dixon, right?
Yeah, I'm on Kenneth Dixon. I'm getting down with Kenneth Dixon. I'm willing to eat the 4-game suspension. I'll put him on my team round 10, 11, 12, anything. You see him lurking out there in that range, get him. Make sure you got running back depth in front of him because you're going to need that because he's not going to be able to start the season. And probably by the time he gets off of suspension, Danny Woodhead will likely be hurt anyway. So they just pop Kenneth Dixon right into that spot, and he takes over. I mean, he averaged 4.5 yards a pop last season, caught 30 passes. So this is a kid that they were talking up every time they put a microphone in Harbaugh's face. He talks about how he thinks Kenneth Dixon can be a great running back in this league. So really, this suspension and injuries are the only thing holding him back right now. So I would definitely make an executive decision on draft day and rock with your man, Kenneth Dixon.
And getting him like 2.5 rounds later to 3 rounds is – that's a significant difference there.
No doubt.
And you look at it by deduction. You got 3 guys there where you know you want no part of, and you know they're like old news. You talk about West, Lorenzo Talaferro, Buck Allen. You know, we don't want to hear about these guys. Forget it. You know, Woodhead will either get hurt, and if he doesn't, he's playing a complimentary role. So West is the guy.
So West is the guy, but you want Dixon.
No, I meant Dixon is the guy.
Yeah, okay. I mean, for Terrence West, I'll say this. If you want to take him in, like, the 14th round, you know, in a 16-teamer, that's not the worst thing. If you just want to have somebody, if you may need to fill in for the first 4 weeks, I'm not a Terrence West guy, but I don't think it's a terrible pick in a best ball format either. Just to have some, you know, you're going to need running back depth. You can't pick up people. Like, if Woodhead does get hurt and Kenneth Dixon, you know, whatever, he comes back from the suspension and starts off slow, you know, in that kind of a format, I think it's more advantageous for you.
Would you rather have Kenneth Dixon or Matt Forte, Scotty?
I'd rather have Kenneth Dixon. You know, I'll eat the 4 games on him rather than go with Forte, who's just 2 up there in years is on a terrible team.
So I bring up Forte not because they're right next to each other in ADP, which they are, but we mentioned Matt Forte in the BFFs last week, and he's a name I've wanted to bring up here on the Roto Experts as well. I think Matt Forte is going to get a bad rap. And I know they mentioned it on Target on Friday as well. Matt Forte is being criminally underdrafted right now because he may be old. This is still his job. Everyone loves Bilal Powell. They're going to split time, and you can't tell me they're going to be blown out so Bilal Powell is only going to play. Matt Forte catches a ton of passes out of the backfield as well. Matt Forte is being underdrafted right now, gentlemen, just because he's old. age discrimination?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just can't buy into Matt Forte right now. He was a great running back, a guy that, you know, helped people win championships for years. But I think Powell is the guy that I would bet on here. I mean, look, he did have, you know, a couple of really good games last year. That was where the majority of his points did come from. I mean, he was another guy that feasted on the Bills early on and even did it against the Ravens. He had 230-point weeks, but not a guy. And if you've seen as the season went on, he kind of really faded. I think Powell is the guy to own on the Jets. I'm a person that really wants to avoid the Jets wholeheartedly. Maybe that's a mistake because even bad teams can help you in fantasy, but I don't know, 32-year-old back.
He started off really hot last year, like Matt alluded to. He's going to turn 32 in December. But he, like you said, he really faded down the stretch. You know, he didn't score a touchdown in his last five games. In his last four, he didn't have more than 25 rushing yards. You talk about the catches. You look at the game log, he only had more than two catches three times. You know, I don't really think he's a big receiving back anymore. He only had 30 catches for 263 yards last year. Powell is the guy. Yeah, I do believe the Jets are going to be playing for mine and using more of Powell. And, you know, when they go into the formations where they want to use draw plays and things like that, they're going to be using Powell. I think Forte, maybe if he was in a different situation, that, you know, you could say, okay, maybe he has something left. But I just don't like the situation.
Greg's right. He is being underdrafted because, I mean, no matter how you look at it, he is a team starting running back. But I think we all understand that Bilal Powell, as you know, is the back to own in the New York Jets. Maybe, you know what? Bilal Powell, really, be honest with you, maybe Bilal Powell is being overdrafted. Maybe he doesn't pop. Maybe he doesn't hit till a little bit later on in the season. But I'm ready to take the gamble on Bilal Powell being the back and getting fantasy relevant numbers that, you know, as an RB2 starting in week one. So I think, you know, I think time is not on the side of Matt Forte, slowly but surely. I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up on waiver wise at some point this season. Also, this kid, Elijah McGuire, is a player that you might want to watch, keep an eye on, etch that name in your kitchen table, see how he plays up, please, how he plays in the preseason, because I think he's a guy that can also get some carries in that Jet backfield. I'm not saying go out there and draft him, but a dollar make you holler. Put him on your watch list. Etch that name in your kitchen table.
Matt Forte is still going to command some defensive respect, and I think defensive coordinators are going to know that. You know, they're going to come out and they'll line up and say, okay, let's see, give it to Forte or the running backs. You know, let's stuff that and put it in the hands of a passing game where there's really not a lot to threaten us.
I just find it odd that the Jets are keeping Forte at this point. Well, the moves they've been making.
I think it's because they can't save anything by getting rid of him. Mm-hmm. I think
that's got to be the reason.
I think that's what it has to do.
They can save him by getting rid of him.
All right, so you all chose Kenneth Dixon there. Kenneth Dixon or Latavius Murray?
Oh, Kenneth Dixon. I can't fool with Lat Murray. I'm over that.
Yeah, I would go Dixon too. You know, we talked with Dr. A about all the ankle issues too, and just like, you know, he's just a big tree lumbering out there, and easy to tackle.
I'm going to go with the upside of Dixon. I think he's just, like as Corey has alluded, they like Dixon. That's why he's somebody that I'm willing to, at his price, I don't mind taking him. But I think we're all just putting Lat Murray aside, and I don't think that's right. We spoke with Ted, I forget his last name, from the Norseman, he broke down the Vikings with us on Saturday with me and Florio on Weekend Update. And, you know, I don't think Latavius Murray should just be discarded. He's somebody that I think is going to have a role. Look, Dalvin Cook is the future, but he's also a rookie. They have this guy here. I think he fits the role for the goal line that they want. So I would, and if you look at his numbers last season with the Raiders, they weren't spectacular, but he still finished like a top 12 running back.
Yeah, because of all the touchdowns, like you point to. But, you know, again, you'd rather have Dixon, because I think when he gets there, he's going to be the goal line back.
I agree. Yeah. I would take Dixon, but I'm just saying don't discard Lat Murray.
Kenneth Dixon?
Especially in a standard format.
Kenneth Dixon or Sam Perine?
That's interesting.
That's I want to see some more in training camp before I can make that call right there. I want to see what Washington is doing with these running backs. I want to see what the splits look like in the preseason. I want to see what the coach is saying, even though I know the coach may be lying. I can't make that call because I don't want to say Kenneth Dixon on June 26th and then on July 26th, you know what I'm saying? They Sam Perine is announced the starter. You feel what I mean?
Right now, I'll say Dixon because, like I said, you move all those other no names, you know, away, and Dixon is the guy. Perine's got to earn it still. So right now, if I'm drafting today, I'll take Dixon.
Maddie.
Yeah, I'll probably take Dixon because Rob Kelly's there. Look, the foolishness that went on in the FSTA draft with him going in the going in the fifth round. I know it's a 14-team league, but look, this is a guy going like 10th roundish. He's going, you know, in most cases even later than Perine. I don't know if that's correct right now. He's a guy they do want to move on from. But I'm going to go with Dixon for the fact that I think the Ravens, as I keep stating, and of course, the Ravens do want this guy to be there.
Yeah, I would definitely take Dixon over Perine at this point because I don't think Rob Kelly's going away all that quickly. And I've said this before here in OTA season, we'll call it. And we're going to get into a couple more when we come back. But to me, Rob Kelly's a guy. He's in fine shape. He's learning the offense. He's trusting his reads, blah, 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 blah. Rob Kelly's not going away so quickly with Sam Perine. And I think the same hope may hold true for some rookie running backs. We've discarded the veterans for the rookies. So when we come back, we're talking about these veterans that nobody wants. Stick around. Roto Experts in the Morning continues on right after this. So, everyone always wants the sexy thing, the young thing, the exciting thing.
Got his air guitar out. Strumming
drives
that joint.
Drives me crazy.
Ooh, this is kind of like your theme song to him. This guy drives me crazy doing this shit.
Find Young Cannibals. This is a good tune.
This is a good tune. I'm with you, Scotty. So, I mentioned Matt Forte. Everyone always wants Bilal Powell. You don't know what's Matt Forte. We say the same thing when it comes to some of these younger guys, too, right? Like Kareem Hunt in Kansas City, Joe Mixon in Cincinnati. Both these guys continuing to climb up draft boards here, I think. Joe Mixon really high now. I mean, Joe Mixon's in the third round easily at this point.
Just took him in the third round.
There you go. Where's Kareem Hunt going at this point, right?
Kareem Hunt, I think, is going more like ninth round. I've been taking him into the sixth, early seventh.
Right, so I think that's where he ends up, in the sixth and the seventh, Kareem Hunt.
But I don't mean to cut you off, I'm sorry. But just looking at Joe Mixon and Kareem Hunt, the reason why is the opportunity for these guys. The coaching staff, like, you know, Andy Reid and a running back with Kareem Hunt's potential and a Joe Mixon where Giovanni Bernard is still hurt, possibly comes back for week one, and a Jeremy Hill's a dog.
So that, I'm glad that's where you went, because that's where I was going. Jeremy Hill's a dog. We've seen it time and time again. Jeremy Hill's a dog. Spencer Ware stinks. He ruined Corey's season last year. Ruined my
season. No, that team did well.
Okay.
He tried to ruin it.
He tried to ruin your season last year. He tried to ruin my season as well.
I ended up putting him on the bench and was playing Tim Hightower down the stretch.
Mm-hmm. I understand. But Spencer Ware's still there. Jeremy Hill's still there. These guys still exist. I don't want to forget that they do because, especially with Kareem Hunt, I think, who was a middle-round draft pick. Joe Mixon was an early second-rounder. And the
would
reason
have been a first-rounder.
He would have been a first-rounder if it wasn't for his history. Exactly. So maybe Jeremy Hill's another story. But Spencer Ware, I don't think, is going away as quick as certain fantasy analysts are believing. Scott, will you still take Spencer Ware?
No. I think guys like Spencer Ware are still there because in case the rookie doesn't pan out as they expect, they want the veteran there as insurance. Yeah, he may be top on the depth chart, but I think Spencer Ware really fizzled out big in the second half of last year. The kid behind him just has too much talent. I think it wins out. I think, you know, this team eventually going to move on to Patrick Mahomes and Kareem Hunt being the quarterback running back combo. I think it happens sooner at running back. And, you know, with Mixon, you know, you still got Hill there. But, again, he's there just for insurance. You know, it's almost like, although they're unofficial handcuffs to me, because they're ahead of the rookies on the depth chart for now, but to me, they're there as NFL insurance in case the rookies
You don't think the veteran going to get the first shot? Going to get the first crack at it?
I think the veteran's going to get the first crack at it, but I think it's going to be short-lived.
Okay. So you're saying...
I think it happens in Kansas City, not in Cincinnati.
So in Kansas City... So when they break camp and they get ready for week one, who's going to be the running back to go on the field behind the quarterback?
I think it'll be Spencer Ware, but I think like when he's pedestrian for like 2 or 3 weeks, I think eventually you're going to see it phase in to where Hunt's the guy.
So if you got him going into the season as the starter, then his ADP should be higher.
Yeah, but I like Hunt to be the eventual starter. I think mixing with Geo Hurt. And them not liking Jeremy Hill, I don't think. I think he opens week one as a starter. I think Hunt eventually gets
totally
the job.
Totally different situations.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, but I'll spin it a little differently. I'm drafting Hunt everywhere. I should probably just buy his jersey at this point. But I think Spencer Ware will start the season as the quote-unquote starting running back.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that Kareem Hunt doesn't have value. And for where you're... I'm getting Kareem Hunt. If you wait, you probably get him in the 9th round. I've been more aggressive than that. Spencer Ware, say you're getting a pick 60. I'm not spending a top 60 pick on Spencer Ware, a guy that I don't believe in. And I do think, even if he's deemed the starting running back, Kareem Hunt is going to play. He's going to get snaps. And Kansas City has done this with their backfield.
People do get involved. Do you think maybe it's better than we just, you know what, F it, avoid the situation altogether?
No, I think Kareem Hunt's too talented.
I think both these running backs have too much upside. The reasons why those guys are there is because we have to remember, with rookies, you say it all the time, Corey, they have to show they can pick up the fundamentals at the pro level. Can they pass protect? That's very important. You know, can they read their keys when they're running? What about when they go out for a pass? So they have to, at least the veterans, they feel like they're well-versed in the fundamentals, even though they're not as talented, especially in the case of Spencer Ware. That's why they're there.
Well, how about this? There's like 4 running backs going in this range. A Dalvin Cook, a Spencer Ware, a Tevin Coleman, and a Mark Ingram. I'll take Dalvin Cook over Spencer Ware. Mark Ingram, I'll even take over Spencer Ware. And I don't know what the hell's going on in New Orleans, just on his talent alone. And I'd rather have Tevin Coleman.
Yeah, I'd take all of those dudes over. Where's not going to be in any fantasy executive locker room? You can forget about that. The thing about it is, maybe we shouldn't be talking up Kareem Hunt too much right now, too. I like the Hunt thing. I can get involved with it. But I think maybe this is a situation that might be best left avoided.
But if you're getting him in the 9th round, I mean, I don't think that's a bad pick. If he moves up and say you feel he's not a 6th round talent, okay, I understand that.
Let me ask you this. Who you take, Hunt or LeGarrette Blount?
I'm probably going to take Hunt, too.
I think I'll take LeGarrette Blount because I know what his role is going to be. You take Hunt or Eddie Lacy, Scott?
I'll take Eddie Lacy. I know what his role is going to be, but I might take Hunt over Blount. I think there's more upside there.
I'll take Hunt over Lacy. Or what about Hunt or CJ Procise?
Hunt. I feel like Procise, you can't trust him to stay healthy. Hunt's got a lot of upside. I think by week 4 or 5, he's going to be the starting running back for the Chiefs.
I'm going to take Hunt, but I think Procise is an intriguing player. They've already talked about the possibility. I think maybe it's just coach speak to get him motivated. But how Lacy and Thomas Rawls could possibly be splitting time. Procise has a defined role. He just needs to stay healthy. He looks electric. He looks like somebody that, you know, can take it to the house. We've seen him do it last year. So, but I just think Hunt has more of an opportunity to be a multiple down back in Kansas City.
Yeah, I think ideally for the Seahawks, I think you want it to be 60 to 70% Lacy on the carries overall.
And also, just to make the point, I'm talking PPR. I mean, and in PPR, you have to distinguish, you know, guys that have the ability to catch the football and play multiple downs. And those guys are very valuable.
I'm taking James White over all of the above.
Let's talk about James White here for a second. Are you sure James White's the guy? Are you sure James White's role is secure? Are you
listen,
sure
I listen. I feel as if comfortable as I felt with a Patriot running back that I have in a while right now. I think he was excellent down the stretch last season. I think he really proved that he's the guy that deserves to have that job. I don't think we could trust Deion Lewis health wise. So I'm going in. I'm going in on. I'm going in. Listen, obviously you know what he's there for—the pass catcher running back. Listen, if I can get a guy right now, he's going in round nine. He has upside to catch 65 to 70 passes and score a couple touchdowns. Yeah, give me James White, baby. Give me James. Give me Jimmy White.
But the fact is, James White may easily be supplanted by Deion Lewis. Easily. We've seen it
before. I don't know how you can say that's
easy. Because we've seen it with Deion
Lewis. He has the first opportunity.
James White? Yeah. I think White, you think White has the first opportunity?
Yes, that's a pass catching back. I mean, I'd rather go with Gillsley, pay up a
No doubt.
There's no question about that. But like we talked, you guys just all talked about first opportunity, right? Everyone wants Kareem Hunt because long-term Kareem Hunt's going to be the guy in KC. Spencer Ware is going to get the first opportunity. In Washington, Rob Kelly's going to get the first opportunity. All of these veterans, Jeremy Hill, very well could get the first opportunity.
But just because you're the starting running back and get that first opportunity doesn't mean you're the guy.
You keep it.
It doesn't mean you're going to keep it, but it doesn't mean you're the guy because however many run plays they do and snaps, and it all depends on game flow as well. But I think Spencer Ware will be the starting running back. I don't think he's the guy to own. I will still say that. I think the other guy has multiple downs that he can play and is just a superior athlete.
You know, a lot of times people get caught up in that too when they're drafting. I want to take him because he's a starting running back. Well, like Matt says, starting running back very often means that you're on the field for the first play of the game. That doesn't mean you're the most productive fantasy running back for that game.
Deion Lewis in 2011 played 15 games. In 2012, he played 9 games. 2013, 2014, I don't know where the hell he was at. You know what I'm saying? Hurt. There you go right there. In 2015, he played 7 games. In 2016, he played 7 games. I think it's trust
with James White. He's at least he'll get that opportunity. I think Deion Lewis has a lot of talent, but injury has been a thing. And I think right now that, you know, if you have Tom Brady's confidence, that you're going to get the first shot. I think he can keep it. Will he keep it? That's another story. But I would bet on James White if I had to make the bet.
I also would bet on James White. But it's one of those situations where I could see being very, very frustrated with New England and very, very frustrated with Belichick.
Well, you can get Lewis as one of your last picks.
No, I know
Shane Vereen used to be that pass-catching guy, and we can never trust him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Certainly.
That's the thing with New England running backs.
To me, if I'm at an auction, for instance, and I do like talking about auctions on the show, because you know, I think auctions are fun and people do them, I'm just not going to do the James White thing. I just think too much can go wrong. Hal, I'll say the same thing for Mike Gillisley. I like Mike Gillisley, and I'm nervous about him. But the other side of that is I drafted LeGarrette Blount last year in an auction for very cheap, and it obviously worked out better than anyone could have expected. So, you know, I think New England is kind of a situation in its own right.
I think LeGarrette Blount's more like Latavius Murray last year going over to Oakland. I think he got to cut his numbers a lot. What I worry about LeGarrette Blount, and I've said it before, he was perfect in that system, the Patriot way, however you want to put it. And now he's going to a younger team, a less disciplined team. I'm just a little concerned about
that. Yeah, they're going to throw a ball a lot in Philly as well.
He's going to finish off drives, though.
Yeah, he is. 18 touchdowns? No. 10? Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah. I'll take that, especially for somebody going in the eighth round of drafts right now.
I'm not so sure.
There's a lot of trash at the back end of that running back group, too. I'll take him before I take guys like Amir Abdullah and Eddie miniatures. Lacy and Fat Rob and dudes like that.
Don't hate, man. Crazy. Taking a break. Come back right with the conversation when we return. Go to Experts in the Morning. Read this story. You were thinking of the Chiefs, right? With Spencer Ware and Kareem Hunt and whatnot. So Ian Rappaport reported this weekend that Lewis Riddick was going to be interviewed for the general manager job in KC.
Yep.
And then Lewis Riddick came out and was like, no, I have not been contacted. I have no plans of being contacted. This is a very strange story. He just totally refuted it. How do you get that wrong? Ian Rappaport, to be fair, gets a lot wrong. A lot. How do you get that wrong?
It's pretty much the media today. They get a lot of stuff wrong.
I shouldn't have brought this up with you.
You have the term fake news nowadays.
I shouldn't have brought this up with you. That was my mistake.
That liberal media don't know what the hell's going on.
You nailed it, Corey.
I can't do this with you. I can't do this. All right. Let me go back to what we were talking about before I get in trouble. I guess the theme of hour number one was really these unsexy guys. That it does seem like I'm kind of on an island by myself over here. That nobody's really interested over there of any of the uglier names. We haven't mentioned Frank Gore. I mean, during the break you mentioned Frank Gore, Matt. But all of these uglier names, Spencer Ware's, Jeremy Hill's, even the Rob Kelly's to an extent, that you guys don't really want because you don't think they'll hold their jobs long term. And I think and maybe it's me seeing like a little bit of early value in some of these guys. Like we talked about, like first touch or being a starter week one. And then I see this that maybe they'll hold on for a dear life. And, you know, maybe this is why you guys are, you know, high stakes.
But the whole point here is like Spencer Ware versus Rob Kelly is like double the ADP. You know, Spencer Ware, you got to pay like 60. Rob Kelly, you're paying like over 120, close to 130.
Well,
I wouldn't mind that, much as I'm not a Rob Kelly guy. I wouldn't mind doing that aspect of it.
Well, I like Rob Kelly. I actually like Rob Kelly.
Yeah, I mean, look, he does get the, he's been tagged
why
Fat
do you like Rob.
Rob
Kelly?
Why wouldn't I like Rob Kelly?
Explain to me what do you see in Rob Kelly that would make you put him on the fantasy team?
Because Rob Kelly is the starting running back for the Washington football team, number one.
Okay.
Right? So number two, he's obviously in his second year. He has, in my opinion, gained the coaching staff's trust. I believe that he is.
Why did they draft Perrine?
They drafted Perrine because they know the running back. They think Matt Jones sucks. So they have no other running backs on the team. So they drafted Perrine to be a complimentary back to Rob Kelly. And it's not like they drafted Sam Perrine in the first or second or third round here, right?
He strikes you as just a complimentary back?
I think people penciling Sam Perrine as a starter right now are silly. So, Scott, have you ever seen Sam Perrine run a single down of football?
What?
I haven't. Yes. I have not. I have not.
I watch film.
Watch the film study.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, forget film study.
Mike Mayock over here.
In live football, you've never seen him rush it down. Because I haven't either.
In the NFL, no, we haven't.
In college, I don't even know what college you went to. I watch college
football.
You
know what college you went to, Cascade?
No, right, off the top of my head, no.
Right, so the point is, to me, this is not a guy that is like coming in as a Leonard Fournette or a Christian McCaffrey or a Joe Mixon, right? One of these top running backs out of college.
No.
He's not. So even Kareem Hunt, who I saw in college, right? Like I don't have any trust. I don't have any loyalty to Sam Perrine, and I don't think that the Redskins do either.
Sam Perrine.
Well, you're looking at Rob Kelly, though. It's like
a lot of the
glamour on him is based on his one big game against Green Bay last year.
He's a zero.
He's not a zero.
He's a zero.
Why?
How many times is he going to carry the football, Greg?
Why can't he carry the ball 15 to 20 times a game?
Oh, God.
Why
no.
not?
Because who going to throw it? That's what they do, throw the football.
He carried it 20 times.
They're going to throw the football.
Three out of how many?
He averaged 4 yards a pop. He doesn't catch passes. He's a zero for fantasy. I'm not fooling with the guy.
He had those two big games last year.
I'm not fooling with Rob Kelly, and you shouldn't either.
For where you're getting him, the 12th round, I don't think he's a zero, but I think they drafted this kid for a reason, though.
But like,
Perrine played with Mixon in Oklahoma.
He drafted him in the fourth round. We look at fourth round picks. Hey, they might not make the team, and they drafted him for a reason. Like, to me,
fourth round pick in San Francisco might steal a starting job.
He might, he might not make the team. That's what it is.
Don't
sleep on Rob Kelly.
I'm sleeping on Rob Kelly.
All right, it's fine. Take a break. We're going to come back. I'll talk about the NBA for the next 5 minutes. Stick around. The Road Experts in the Morning continues right after this.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts in the Morning is live with you here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Modica, Angle, Parsons, Sussman with you for another hour. Old school fantasy comes your way then with Corey, Matt, and George. So you got that coming up. Before we get to some baseball that I want to get to here, I do want to mention the NBA quickly, Corey, with you, because the rumors about Paul George to Cleveland have not ended just because the draft is over. The rumor over the weekend was there a three-team trade potentially in the works between Denver, Cleveland, and Indiana, which sends Paul George to Cleveland, which sends Kevin Love to Denver, and a whole bunch of young things and picks over to Indiana. Any truth, any legs there?
I think this one does have legs. I saw this report a little bit earlier, too, and I was looking into it last night. Listen, you know what they want to do out there in Cleveland. They got to secure LeBron James. They got to make the king happy. So they already went over his head and fired the general manager. So now it's time for them to try to make things right. I think Paul George would be a nice piece. Obviously, he gives them another scorer, that another good player that can play both ways. So I think that I think if they want to make it happen, obviously Kevin Love would be the guy that has to be expended. But I think that can keep the unit together. You think Kyrie's still going to be there?
I do, and I've said that all along. I know you don't necessarily agree.
No, I think Kyrie's going to be there still.
I agree. I think Kyrie's still.
Now, you think that the Cavs, do you think they mention it to LeBron? Look, we're looking to fire the GM, or
no? I think Gilbert did this on his own, and I think that's why LeBron is like, you better stop playing with me. This is my team, not yours.
I was looking at CBSSports.com too, and like, you know, they were saying something about Carmelo Anthony to the Cavs.
Yeah, so basically the Cavs, which is not a surprise, I assume LeBron's agent leaked this, that basically if Melo gets cut by the Knicks, he'll have a home in Cleveland, which isn't a surprise, I don't think any of us.
Yeah, no doubt. We know that already. And Melo, listen, I wouldn't be surprised if they cut him.
Oh, you've said that for a while. You said that for a while.
They should, and if they do, they should be protesting outside of Madison Square Garden.
We got this process.
So now Blake Griffin and Chris Paul are both free agents.
Yes, sir.
But now if they go back to the Clippers, they get the max deal with those teams.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. With that, well, my favorite thing is that both Blake Griffin and Chris Paul opted out, and DeAndre Jordan's like, what? I didn't want to be here in the first place.
Amazing. The Clippers thing is a disaster.
Disaster. I wanted to be in Dallas. You guys emojied me to come back.
Remember, son tried to. Remember, Floyd Mayweather tried to buy the Clippers. You spend $100 million gambling. They're gonna let you buy a pro team, dummy.
Did the Clippers go for $2 billion?
Yeah.
Isn't there a new group out there that's maybe gonna buy the Marlins? I was hearing.
Well, no, I think it's just the same group. Tag Romney. I think Jeb's joining the Romneys in this.
No, there was a new group. Like this guy's like a Cuban businessman or something like that.
I didn't hear about that.
He's hearing something about that.
No, I didn't hear
not
about
the
that.
Same group with Jeter, except that, like, there's a new buyer that's like emerged for the Marlins.
A third one?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Interestingly enough. All right. LeVar Ball.
He
could be going to Raw tonight. I'll let you know if he's on there.
Nice.
That'd be awesome. Take a break. We're going to come back. Some MLB headlines from the weekend, including Franklin Moreno, Blake Snell, and, of course, Cody Bellinger. Stick around. The Roto Experts in the Morning continues right after this. Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Let's talk about some baseball guys from over the weekend. And, you know, you can talk about the hashtag belly bombs that Bodega literally said every time Cody Bellinger hits home runs. That's like 24 times now. He's unstoppable. We know that. Aaron Hicks is stoppable. He hits the DL with an oblique injury. And up now for the Oakland Athletics, it's Franklin Moreno, one of the top prospects in baseball.
But Aaron Hicks yesterday, like you said, he hit the DL. He's been playing fantastic. And it's a shame that the guy's going to the DL. What I didn't get is Jacoby Ellsbury for what he is what he is. But I put a $59 bid in one of my really competitive leagues, and it was a zero. Nobody else bid on this guy. And you knew he was probably going to the DL, Hicks. So even if you hate Ellsbury, he's on his way back. I mean, why wouldn't you put something?
You're going to hit for some average of speed. He was a free agent at Greenwich Street Tavern League, went on for under $40. And you talk about Bellinger, it's just amazing. Like, now 6 multi-homer games this year that broke a Dodgers record for a rookie set by Mike Piazza. We were at 5 multi-homer games in his rookie year. Just showing you how amazing that is.
Yeah, I think he's been making, and that's the argument I had with Joe in the Black Book this week, because Joe said, you know, maybe he'll get figured out. And I think he's been making the adjustment over the last month. He started out as a house of fire with the average. I mean, the power's still been there. But he went on a streak of, say, 45 at-bats prior to these last couple of weeks where he struck out half the time. And maybe he had like only three homers. And I think he is starting to make that adjustment. And that swing does have some swing and miss, but it is a sweet swing as well.
And, yeah, and then you bring up Franklin Barreto, who, you know, was a popular pickup in a lot of leagues. And, you know, Barreto's the top prospect in the A system. We saw a game on Saturday where all their rookies that were in there, like three of them, like homered.
Yeah, but that was the James Shield effect.
Yeah, but you know, it's still interesting.
No, I know.
Yeah,
teasing,
still interesting.
Teasing.
You know, Olsen hit too, but Barreto is really the guy that everybody's talking about. And the power is certainly there, but like Tony and I were talking about this morning, it's like kind of like, you know, the scouting report on power and speed, but he only has four steals this year in the minors, whereas he had 30 last year, so that's a little bit of a concern.
Yeah, but what I like about him, me and Greg were talking just before, at the break, is that in a 12-teamer, I would pick him up, put him on my bench. You've seen some rookies pop. I mean, look at Francisco Lindor.
Yep.
All you heard about was he's just a glove-only guy, just a glove-only guy. So, I mean, that's not good. In a 15-team league, yes, he's more of an attraction, especially somebody that's going to get to hit bats and play every day. I bought him in my AL only. I spent like $500, maybe almost $300 more than I needed to, but I'm looking to package him and Yoan Moncada as a super player going forward. And in AL only, you need at bats, and those are king.
And then you talk about like the Lindor example is really good because some guys, you don't see the power happen until they get to the majors sometimes. Like sometimes that is the last tool to come for some young guys.
Well, Billy Beane's praying that Franklin Barreto is the real deal. Of course, I mean, that Josh Donaldson trade just looks god-awful.
Absolutely brutal.
Know, so
I actually picked up Franklin Barreto just to see what, you know, see what we got.
That's the right move.
See what we got.
He wasn't available in my ESPN AL-only league.
Well, the AL-only is a little different, I think. Yeah. I know Matt
he was on the free agent list yet.
Oh, wow. It wasn't that.
So I picked up, I whiffed on Tyler Austin, although I did get him in the Granite Street Tavern League.
Good luck with that, sir.
Yeah.
I also picked up this week, we're talking about prospects and players coming up and players going back. Blake Snell returns to the Rays rotation on Wednesday. Rasmo Ramirez has been demoted. So they're going to give Blake Snell every opportunity here to once again be a starting pitcher with the Rays. I know, Scott, you've been an owner of Blake Snell this season. Do you think
not anymore.
You've been an owner, yeah. That's why it's past tense, of Blake Snell here this season. Do you think he can come back and provide some fantasy value for you?
If I picked him up, I wouldn't start him yet. Just like, the whip is friggin' 162. It's, you know, he got hurt. They sent him to the minors. You know, maybe he comes back and he figured something out. Look, we saw with Jose Barrios, you know, that he was having a problem with the grip. And once he figured that out, he was able to pitch a lot better. So has Snell figured anything out? Pick him up. Put him on your bench, see what he does.
Here's the thing with Snell, especially with the current landscape of pitching. I think he's somebody you have to go after.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just so many disasters going on, injuries, underperformance. And at least this time in the minors, his walks to nine was like 3 or maybe just over it. That is an issue. The walks are an issue. But the guy can get strikeouts, so that's a positive. I mean, at this point in time, he's more of a matchup guy for me. I picked him up a week prior. I got him for pretty much nothing. And I'm going to throw him in my lineup this week. I think he has a pretty decent start this week. I forget who it was, but I think it's a pretty decent one.
I'm all for picking him up. I'm not for putting him in my starting lineup yet.
Would you guys rather own Blake Snell or Luis Castillo? Because that is a decision I had over the weekend. I went Snell only because of Cincinnati.
Castillo had some really good minor league numbers.
Yeah.
Like an 81 to... what was it, like 81 to 13 K to walk ratio in 80 innings pitch at the minors. He had a tough matchup in his first time out. But I think Snell's got more upside, but right now if I had to put a guy in my lineup, it'd probably be Castillo.
I'll ride with Snell here and hope that, you know, he's made some adjustments, you know, maybe going down to the minors sometimes with these kids, and we've seen it, we've made the examples. You know, it clicks, maybe there was a mechanical flaw. So I'll take the shot with Snell. Castillo, you know, he's young. I do like him. You know, somebody I do have interest in. But once again, it's with Cincinnati. I don't know what, you know, Snell can stay in this rotation. I don't know how long he pitches this year, Castillo.
I agree. I totally agree with all of that. As I mentioned, the Cincinnati factor kind of led me towards snow. At least Tampa Bay's a bigger ballpark. And, you know, I've kind of been burned by one Cincinnati prospect this year in Amir Garrett. I'm going to give Snell a shot here. Strikeout numbers of it. We know he can strike guys out. It's can he just control, you know, have the control that he needs? That's the question we'll see. For me, those two guys, Snell and Moreno, were the big guys to pick up here probably over the weekend. Certainly Cody Bellinger and Aaron Hicks. I got to mention Zach Davies yesterday because I told you guys I kept him on my team despite the disaster of a start last Monday. I kept him on my team simply because of the matchup over the weekend. I needed a two-star pitcher. He's facing Atlanta. I was like, okay, I could do this. Pitched 7 innings yesterday and didn't strike out a single guy.
Only 4 hits allowed. No strikeouts. The first Milwaukee pitcher to do that in 18 years.
Yeah, Scott Carl.
Wasn't it 0 runs?
It was
That's
zero.
That's the important thing.
Yeah. It was 7 innings, 0 runs,
Such
0 strikeouts.
If I'm going to get 0 strikeouts, as long as I'm getting 0 runs, that does make it.
Yeah.
You know.
We also this week, along with the return of Blake Snell, we're also seeing the return of Carlos Rodon, finally, for the Chicago White Sox. I know he's not out there. People have been waiting and waiting and waiting on Carlos Rodon. Scott, how good can he be?
I think he can be very good. It seems like people have been waiting forever. You have to remember, this guy hardly spent any time in the minor leagues at all. It's like most of his career has been auditioned at the major league level. So he's far from a finished product. We're waiting for the control to get there. We're waiting for the command to get there. At some point, Carlos Rodon is going to be the best pitcher on the staff, which is not saying too much, but like he's really going to look like an ace. It's just a matter of time. I think it happens next year, but you're going to see some real flashes of brilliance this year.
Yeah, I think Scott's right. I mean, for the remainder of this year, sure, I'll roll the dice on Rodon right now, but I think for the main point you want to see rest of the season with him is him being healthy.
Yep.
There's been too many injuries and cautionary, we're going to be cautious with him. So if he can make it out healthy, maybe refine some aspects of his game, this could be somebody in 2018 that we're really looking forward to.
Yeah, but a problem with that is I feel like we've said that here. We've said that before with Carlos.
Yeah, but Scott made a good point. He made a very good point.
He's not a finished product. The guy's hardly spent any time in the minor leagues in his career. We're seeing the whole progression before our eyes. This guy is not a post-hype prospect.
Yeah, the White Sox are very aggressive with their pitching prospects. We saw it with Chris Sale.
It speaks how bad Giolito is.
I
don't know about that.
Or he has been.
I think at some point you're going to see him. I want to see if Kopech actually comes up later on this year. That kid's been doing some wonderful things in the minors. I mean,
what does he throw, like 100?
He's kind of like their version of Noah Syndergaard.
Yeah.
I look at the White Sox. We know Lopez is there too, and they obviously
that's another name.
They like Lopez a lot. They feel like he's more advanced than any other.
Yeah,
prospect.
He's just got try and figure out the walk situation. That's his biggest bugaboo.
Yeah.
They want him to fine-tune his curveball.
The Dodgers, of course, scored so many runs over the weekend. Colorado kind of going a little swing.
What about Washington on Saturday? What, 18 runs?
Yeah, they put up a lot of runs.
Michael
Taylor's not getting enough pub. He's playing exceptionally well.
Pub away, Modiga.
He really is. He's giving you the power, the speed, and the average isn't 214 now. That's been like always a detriment to his game was, you just strike out a ton, bat like 220-ish. But,
Brian Goodwin had a good game over the weekend.
Yeah,
too.
The other big news, Corey, is Giancarlo Stanton making his return to the home run derby.
His 20th.
Nice. So he's going up against the Judge.
Hopefully. And Bellinger, that would be amazing.
In Miami, too, is going to go down.
It's going to be awesome. We're going to come back. Throw the baseball. Play some Shark Tank next here on the Roto Experts. Time here, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto-Experts in the morning. We're talking about football. Had a little brief stop at some baseball, some basketball. But we'll get back to the football here because we're at the end of June. We're about 2 months away from that major fantasy football draft weekend. So let's take a look at the guys outside the top 100 right now. I want to know who you're bringing to the table. I want to know who you are putting your foot down on. I want to know who you are prideful about. Give it to me. Let's play a little Shark Tank here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Matty Modica, sir. You, sir, will be entering the tank first with your sharks, Scott Angle, Corey Parson, Greg Sussman. Welcome to the tank. Who you got?
Welcome to the tank, Mr. Modica.
Well, I'm hailing from the island of Manhattan.
Very good.
Okay. I'm going to bring somebody that's, you know, a little further down. He's outside the 100. He's a guy that is not a foundation player. He's more of a depth player. For those that like the best ball thing, too, he's definitely a person of interest in that. But I do think he is a depth player on redraft leagues. And he has maybe some hidden potential, especially with this new offensive coordinator. His name is Tyler Gabriel of the Atlanta Falcons.
He's actually Taylor Gabriel.
Oh, Taylor, I said.
Jesus. The guy doesn't even know he's bringing a tank. It's unbelievable.
Maybe there's a new guy we haven't heard of.
No, it's yeah. Taylor. My bad. Even God makes a mistake once in a while, Scott.
Come on. Mr. Modica, let me ask you a question. How many targets do you expect Mr. Gabriel to have in 2017? Because if he doesn't have his hands on the football, he can't score fantasy points.
Well, you see, the thing is, in the last, from weeks 8 to 16, he had the 15th most points for a wide receiver. And the only people who scored more touchdowns than Mr. Gabriel was Jordy Nelson, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham Jr., Dez Bryant. Now, I know touchdowns isn't something we can rely upon, obviously. But, I mean, this is a guy that really doesn't need the volume as much as certain other receivers. He's a guy that, if he can get, you know, 5 or 6 targets a game, reel in like 4 receptions, he can do some damage. But now we have a new offensive coordinator coming to town. He's also somebody that if Julio Jones does go down, we can see an increase in targets, an increase in volume. Another stat that really pops out to me, we all love Tyreek Hill, right? We all see what he does. I think a lot of people do. I mean, he's pretty much become a top 25 wide receiver in consensus rankings out there. And he's going in the as high as the 3rd, early 4th. So he's a guy that I do think people are interested in. And 2 stats here. Gabriel was first in points per snap, second, and also first in points per opportunity. And second in that was Tyreek Hill over that time period I just mentioned. Also, he ranked number 1 in wide receiver rating when quarterbacks threw to him. So when Matt Ryan threw to him, his quarterback rating was he had a wide receiver rating of 148.1.
What's his health status?
As far as I know, he's good to go right now.
You point to
he has a strained lower leg that he suffered in mandatory minicamp, but they think he's going to be back on the field.
They think he's going to be back.
He's
a little, you know.
I just worry about where the targets are going to come from, to be honest with you.
You point to the new offensive coordinator, too, though. They said they're going to keep a lot what they do, which I think is a positive for Gabriel. I'm not a fan necessarily of you know, the Kansas City wide receiver Tyreek Hill, but I see the stark difference in where they're being drafted. The one thing that I would have to ask you, though, is if Julio Jones does go down, what makes you think that Taylor Gabriel can be the number one guy in an offense, face top cover corners, or the most coverage in the zone?
I'm not expecting him to be the number one. They also have Mohamed Sanu there. They have good receivers. Matt Ryan threw for just about 5,000 yards. I think he might have just came just short of that last season. I still think they're going to throw the ball, too. I mean, they have a great running game. Gabriel's a guy that if you get him in the open spaces, we've seen what he can do. And this is one of the better offenses. I'm not telling you to draft. I'm not saying he's got to even be your flex option. I think this is a guy that should be a depth option. I think this is a guy going in the 13th round. I mean, I love Ted Ginn, but this is another option I'm trying to bring to the people. I know everybody's going to be big on Ted Ginn. They're going to see Drew Brees. They know he likes to throw like the Brandon Cook routes and stuff like that. But I think this is a guy that's kind of showed us last year. He gave us a glimpse into what could be a player that's maybe being overlooked. More valuable than his current price tag. I look for profit later on. What? This is somebody I think could give you a profit.
Where are you trying to sell him at?
He's going in the 13th round.
Mr. Mudeek, welcome to the tank. I haven't had an opportunity to speak yet because my two co-sharks here, very interesting, and I appreciate, of course, their interest in your player. Now, you mentioned the new offensive coordinator. I know Mr. Engel followed up with that point. Are you not concerned that Steve Sarkisian will come in here and screw up all the goodwill that Kyle Shanahan brought?
I don't think year one he's gonna make major adjustments. And I don't know, are you guys big on a stat that I'm big on is yards per route run. I think that's a stat that in football is becoming more dominant, especially for like receivers and stuff. Mr. Gabriel was number three in that. He ranked third, only Julio Jones and AJ Green were ahead of him. And I'm just trying to give people other options. You know, look at players that, you know, maybe you're gonna pass because you're gonna say he's too small. Or you're gonna say he's not gonna get enough targets. You know, certain players need the volume. Certain players need a opportunity. I think there's opportunity in this offense for him. I think he's a guy that they can scheme plays for as well. He's kind of like, everybody was excited last year for Travis Benjamin going to San Diego. I think Mr. Gabriel is somebody that we don't have to pay anything for, that we can possibly be excited about. And you're looking to pay very little and get a nice return on investment.
I'll buy him at 15, not at 13.
All right, you have an offer. We buy him in 15th round. Mr. Mudeek, will you accept that offer?
I will not.
Okay.
You say you're selling him in the 13th round?
I'm selling him in the 13th round.
Now, I like where you're going with this, but I do have to ask one follow-up question here.
Sure.
You say that if Julio Jones goes down, they have good receivers.
I did not say they have good receivers. I said I wasn't making him the number one receiver. I said Muhammad Sanu would probably step into that role.
Yeah, I see that as an issue.
Okay, but that's, you're saying if. But if Julio does go down, you have to assume his volume would go up. I am not banking on that. I am not selling him on that aspect.
I like the comparison you made to Tyreek Hill and the value. I would take Taylor Gabriel, not in the 13th from you. I'll take him in the 12th.
Wow.
Done.
This is unbelievable. You know, it's interesting, Listen, I can't top that, so I'm out. But Scotty, you didn't even have to give up the 12. You only wanted a 13. You're like the worst investor I've ever seen.
Scott's going ahead of the curve.
I'm playing high stakes like he would. If I really want a guy, especially the value, I'm going to go a little bit early to get him. Right. I'm in on Taylor Gabriel and that kind of round. When I saw that that our friend Tracy Hankin of Inside Injuries in the FSTA B draft got Taylor Gabriel in the 13th round, I thought you did a terrific job.
So there you go. Scott Engel, our investor here on Taylor Gabriel. King, now that you've invested, why don't you bring someone else into the tank?
I got a guy who's 136th in the Fantasy Pros ADPs. And I definitely appeal to the fantasy executive here because I've seen how he's drafted in the past. And sometimes he will wait till the bitter end for a quarterback. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you
Russell Wilson.
Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz, you look at him last year. He was actually 8th in attempts last year in the NFL. He had more attempts than Ben Roethlisberger and Kirk Cousins. He had 607 attempts last year. Now, you look at the average yards per attempt, it wasn't there, but he didn't have any weaponry. The Philadelphia Eagles in the offseason committed to improving a receiving core that had 31 drop passes last year. This year, Carson Wentz has Alshon Jeffrey. This year, he has Torrey Smith, who was in a terrible, terrible situation in San Francisco last year and gives him an opportunity to stretch the field in a specific role. He brings Zach Ertz back. I don't think you can depend on the running game. I like LeGarrette Blount as a finisher for this offense. But you look at all the other running backs, and you have miniatures, pass catchers. You have Darren Sproles. You have guys like Danelle Pumphrey, who's like 5'8 and like 170. This team is going to be throwing the football a heck of a lot and has a lot better weapons. This team committed to building around Carson Wentz as a franchise-type quarterback. He had 4 300-yard games last year with no weapons. So I'm presenting to you as a high-end QB2, Carson Wentz, the possibility of being a QB1.
What round are you selling him in?
I will give you Carson Wentz in the 13th round.
There you go. Carson Wentz in the 13th round as your starting quarterbacks. Mr. Engel, I will start with you. Are you selling me Carson Wentz in a single quarterback league, sir?
Yes.
Now, you made some nice points that I was intrigued about with how often you expect Philadelphia to throw. Eighth most attempts as a rookie, the improved wide receivers, and just the offense. So you made some wonderful points, but there's a lot of quarterbacks better than Carson Wentz. Would you agree?
I think Carson Wentz, as much as he's going to have volume, and with the improved pass catchers, can exceed expectations this year.
Now, again, that didn't really answer my question. Would you agree that there's a lot of quarterbacks better than Carson Wentz?
Yes, but the key is, as the fantasy executive would say, if you're going to wait for your quarterback, Carson Wentz is the guy you can wait for.
Sir, what makes you think that Carson Wentz is better than Tyrod Taylor from a fantasy perspective?
More volume.
But Tyrod Taylor uses his legs much better than Carson Wentz will.
Tyrod Taylor has Sammy Watkins. Now, also, Jeffrey's also injury prone.
Sure.
I'm not going to tell you that. Mm-hmm. But if and when he goes down, Tyrod Taylor is going to be in a lot of trouble, I think.
That'll be interesting. We'll discuss this more on the other side of our break. I know Mr. Parson, Mr. Motika are potentially interested in investing in Carson Wentz. More Shark Tank next. We are in the Shark Tank on a Monday morning, June 26, 2017. Matt Modica has successfully received an investor on his Taylor Gabriel. I would have never invested in it after you told me his name wrong to start off your pitch.
I said you Tyler, it's
you
Taylor.
You wouldn't invest in Tyler Gabriel?
I would not, no. So, Scott, you're a better man than I am. But, sir, you are in the Shark Tank right now, Mr. Engel, and you are trying to get us to invest in the 13th round in Carson Wentz, and I was asking you questions here, and I brought up Tyrod Taylor, and yes. I thought that Tyrod Taylor, who really is as consistent as they come right now, given his points week to week, using his legs and his ability to throw the ball, I like Tyrod Taylor more than I like Carson Wentz, so I'm going to have to be convinced.
I will say to you, sir,
sure,
with all due respect,
none,
I like Tyrod Taylor too.
Okay.
I was just talking with Mr. Modica recently and saying how underrated he is, but
yes,
somebody
sir.
Else might take Tyrod Taylor before the 13th round.
Mr. Engel, are you here to sell Tyrod Taylor or Carson Wentz?
Sir, hold on 1 second.
Are you here to sell Tyrod Taylor or Carson Wentz, Mr. Engel?
Excuse me, I'm speaking to Mr. Sussman
right now.
Mr.
Parson, 1 second. In regards to your point about taking Carson Wentz before Tyrod Taylor, I'm currently looking at Fantasy Pros, ADP. Carson Wentz goes earlier than Tyrod Taylor.
I think a lot of fantasy analysts would take Tyrod Taylor before Carson Wentz.
Well, you're using Fantasy Pros. That's what I'm using, too. So I'm just saying. All right, Mr. Parson.
I'm glad we got back on the subject and Carson Wentz and not Tyrod Taylor.
He's the one that brought up
Tyrod
Taylor.
No, I'm just asking you who you're here to sell. That's all I'm saying to you.
I think I made that pretty obvious.
All right,
do
cool.
I need to spell it out for you?
No, you don't.
Okay.
No, you don't.
All right.
Mr. Engel.
Good morning,
Mr.
Parson.
Good morning. How you doing? Are you selling me Carson Wentz as a starting quarterback?
I'm selling him to you, fantasy executive.
Can I have another quarterback on my team?
Because, yes, I am. But I know how you like to wait for quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And Carson Wentz, with all the volume that he had last year and no weaponry, now more volume with weaponry, I think that's a guy that would appeal to you.
I'm actually I'm interested. I want to come down on that round though, but I am interested. Mm-hmm. But what I want to ask you a couple questions about the young man, Mr. Wentz.
Remember, there's only 16 rounds.
Do you like Alshon Jeffrey?
When he's healthy, yes, I do. A lot.
You like Torrey Smith?
I think it's a better situation for Torrey Smith this year. It'll give him an opportunity to go more downfield this year.
You're telling me you don't expect Alshon Jeffrey to be on the field. Torrey Smith has never been a valuable fantasy asset.
He's nothing but a decoy.
So we're back to square one with Mr. Wentz, right?
Not really, because in Baltimore, when he played with Joe Flacco, he was capable. I'm not talking as Torrey Smith as like, I want to draft him for my fantasy team.
Will you own him with Torrey Smith on a fantasy team?
What? No, I will not. But I'll tell. But when Torrey Smith was with Baltimore, he was a guy who could go downfield and get a lot of big plays for Joe Flacco. I see him as a valuable piece in the whole. How should I say, weaponry? There, he's going to play a certain well that'll give him a downfield option that he didn't have last year.
But I mean, from everybody, it sounds to me like you don't expect these gentlemen to be on the field. Mr. Smith and Mr. Allen.
I would
Jeffrey.
Say if I made a projection.
If they're not on the field, then I'm never working with the same crew.
I said I expected Torrey Smith to miss any games.
Okay, would you have him on a fantasy team?
No.
But will you have Alshon Jeffrey on the fantasy
team?
Yes,
I already did draft him in the mock draft.
You will? If you're investing in these guys, if you're investing in the weapons around him, and you're telling me that these weapons are going to make Mr. Wentz a better player.
I will invest on Zach Ertz.
Okay.
I will invest in Alshon Jeffrey.
Zach Ertz was there last year.
I will invest in Alshon Jeffrey. I like Torrey Smith as a part of this crew in the role that he plays. That doesn't mean I want him on my fantasy team. I like the option that he gives Carson Wentz.
Mr. Wentz was accounted for 18 touchdowns last year. I need more than that from him, quarterback.
I think you're going to get it now with the weaponry that they has here. With Alshon Jeffrey playing about 13, 14 games, with Torrey Smith being a deep threat.
You know,
I'd promote Jordan Matthews over Torrey Smith.
Second-year quarterback.
That goes without saying. That's a good point. But what I'm saying is,
second-year quarterbacks tend to slump.
This is diversity here. This is diversity here, okay? You have Matthews move the chains. Jeffrey, big receiver, can do it all. And you got your deep threat, and you got your tight end.
The second-year quarterbacks tend to slump. This young man is 24 years old. I mean, this is you're selling him to me as a bench player, correct?
I'm selling as somebody that you can take very late as one or two quarterbacks and stream.
Okay.
If you want to wait,
it's like a stream.
Like you wait.
Okay.
Like, you know how you tend to wait and take your quarterbacks very late and take two of them? That's how I'm selling them to you.
Can you assure me that I will not be sending this sophomore quarterback to the waiver wire in week 4?
I can assure you, he's got too many weapons, and I don't always believe in the sophomore slump. Didn't happen for Ben Roethlisberger, didn't happen for Russell Wilson, and it's not going to happen for Dak Prescott either.
I'll buy him in 14, not in 13.
I want to see what he's going to offer,
All right. If
anything.
Well, you're going to have to sell me here, because I want to believe in Carson Wentz. The thing that really gets me down is the yards per attempt, the adjusted yards. You know, just over 6 and under 6, that's really something I do look at. Problem here I have, I'm looking at Fantasy Pros, and they have Carson Wentz 17th and 140 overall. And then they have Deshaun Watson, Andy Dalton, Tyrod Taylor, Carson Palmer. I'm going to take those guys all over Carson Wentz here. If we look at, say we look at NFFC, which is more of a high stakes kind of thing, Tyrod Taylor and Carson Wentz are going side by side. I mean, if Deshaun Watson is after Carson Wentz, something's going screwy there on Fantasy Pros. I got to say that. The thing with Wentz is the other options I can get at that same price or after. Carson Palmer is a guy in his last 9 games that averaged 285 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. He's proven. He's got a Larry Fitzgerald. He's got John Brown coming back healthy. He's got a David Johnson. I like Tyrod Taylor better than Mr. Wentz. These are guys that are going later or at the same price. And, you know, 16 touchdowns to 14 interceptions is a guy that I do want to believe in, but I think there's just guys that I'm going to take at his price over him.
I don't have a problem with the Taylor as far as you pointing to the yards per attempt. I think that definitely goes up because you look at the receivers that he had last year compared to the weapons he has this year. I think it's definitely improved. I totally respect to Tyrod Taylor, as I told Greg, but Deshaun Watson has yet to play it down in the NFL. Carson Palmer.
That's not your fault. That's the foolishness of fantasy pros.
Carson Palmer is old and playing behind a rickety offensive line, and I don't trust those other weapons.
But Carson Palmer is 1 year removed from a fantastic season. And when I broke down his last 9 games, I mean, if Carson Wentz could deliver 285 yards, 2 touchdowns and an interception week, you would take that, right?
I think that Mr. Wentz is going to be improved to where he can challenge or maybe better those numbers.
I do like the Alshon Jeffrey addition. The Torrey Smith, to me, is a decoy. It should help in that they could just send him down the field.
I think he's going to be more than a decoy. I think he was in a very bad situation.
I don't think he's that good of a receiver. I think he had one good year.
I think he's good at what he does, which is run post and fly patterns.
I like the guy in the slot. He's in the right position.
You talk about the yards per attempt. It goes up with a guy like Torrey Smith automatically.
I could buy Wentz in a 2-quarterback league as my number 2. Mm. I just can't buy Wentz ahead of the names I've mentioned in Palmer, Taylor. Even an Andy Dalton has put up top 5 quarterback numbers in fantasy. So, and he's got AJ Green, and he's got Tyler Eifert, and a guy.
He's got AJ Green and a bunch of, you know, we don't know what's going to happen.
Well,
there.
I mean, Tyler Eifert, I mean, injury prone too, guy, but very efficient.
We've already seen that we can't depend on Andy Dalton. I think that.
But we've seen Andy Dalton put up a top five fantasy year.
You're talking about a guy who had 600 attempts with practically no receivers, and now they've added more weaponry.
And I seen Brandon LaFell get like 900 yards with Andy Dalton, and AJ Green's one of the best receivers in the league.
We already know what Dalton can do.
I could buy him as a low end number two. I can't buy him as a starter ahead of these guys.
I'm not selling him as a starter though. I said I was selling him as a high end QB2.
I thought you were selling him as, you know, you're selling him as a high end QB2?
Yes.
But that's what? If he's a QB2, we're in a 12 team league. He's going to be number 20th probably on my board.
Yeah, I disagree with that. It'll probably be about 14th.
So, Mr. Rodrigo, are you saying you're out?
I don't know who you can put. I don't know. 14th on your board. I mean, I don't see how that's possible.
Sir, you're saying you're out.
I'm going to I want to be involved, but like I said, there's just too many names I'm going to put in front of me.
Now, so Mr. Rodrigo is out. You have an offer from Mr. Parson, the 14th round.
Yeah, 14th round.
14th
offer.
Round. And for me, kind of going along with what Mr. Rodrigo said, Scott, is ultimately that the players that are ahead of him on the Fantasy Pros board, the Tyrod Taylors, the Carson Palmers, that value is there. And I brought up Tyrod Taylor to you early on when we were discussing this. And I do value Taylor more. And maybe you're seeing him go higher. I'm not. To me, there's other quarterbacks out there. I don't need to pay this price on Mr. Wentz. I'm out.
All right. I disagree.
That's fine.
I disagree on Dalton. For sure, and Carson Palmer, I will take your offer in the 14th round.
Thank you, sir.
That's right around the area I was looking to
Thank
sell
you.
Him.
Yeah, I have no problem with it. I do think
you understand where I'm coming from.
I think
from.
The weapons are improved. He flashed and popped at times last season.
300-yard games.
He has some options in the passing game. He'll flirt with 4,000 yards. You want to see those touchdowns get above 25. If you're waiting on the quarterback, you can wait late, snatch up Carson Wentz. If you like in a 12-team redraft, draft him in the 14th, 15th round, your second quarterback. And you could have some heat a little bit later on, give you nice depth, and you might have a trade piece.
That's exactly what I was going to look for that.
But don't draft the trade.
No, never draft.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I'm just looking at this Fantasy Pros thing, and I'm just finding it a little, very suspect. I mean, Deshaun Watson's right after Clark is 18th. I mean, Philip Rivers is the 15th quarterback. I don't know. That's crazy.
Right, there you go. There you go. We have two more participants here. To walk into the Shark Tank, Corey, are you prepared, sir, to walk in and present somebody?
Yep.
Okay, I am as well. We have just 5 minutes left in the program, so we have to do that tomorrow. Yep. I don't want to rush our pitch.
Yeah, I don't want you guys rushing.
We'll have day two of Shark Tank tomorrow, 9:20 a.m. Eastern Time. On the show, but when we come back, we'll find out what's next in the OGs, and we'll set you up for the rest of the week here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The Roto Experts in the morning, Carson Wentz, sold on the 14th. We had. Who did you present against? Taylor Gabriel on the 12th. Corey and I will present tomorrow. Roto Experts in the morning continues on Ranch with us. See yesterday afternoon Jordan Spieth's chipping rather from the sand.
I saw the highlight of it.
How cool is that?
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
That was awesome. Spieth in sudden death was able to hole in a putt from the sand to win the tournament, Scott.
Okay.
Scott was doing right turns on Sunday.
It's fine. It's right. Yep. It was a pretty cool thing, so I was bringing it up. I thought you'd be like, oh, that's cool. But
it's cool if you like that thing, yeah.
Yeah, I just love it.
I don't watch golf.
It's a cool sports moment. Anyway.
I'm sorry. I don't like golf.
Okay, you can just appreciate it, maybe, but it's fine.
I don't think I can.
All right, well, no problem.
But I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I did. It was cool. Yeah. It was awesome. Yeah. So... Serena Williams, John McEnroe called her out. It's so annoying because John McEnroe has called Serena Williams like one of the best athletes of all time multiple times. But the story over the weekend is, Corey, John McEnroe basically saying if she played on the men's tour, she'd be like ranked 700.
No, you're right. Serena Williams is the greatest athlete of our generation. Mm-hmm. That's the way I look at it. Serena Williams can beat anybody.
I believe that.
I think she's got more muscles than some of the men on that tour.
So that goes way back to like when some guy said that about Billie Jean King and
mm-hmm. yeah, that I think was more.
Well, that's more publicity stuff. Yeah. Bobby Riggs wasn't, you know, at that point in his career wasn't anything special.
60 something years old,
right? So that was more of a, you know.
Yeah. So hey, I'm not. I can't, yeah, she can. She can. She's an athlete. She can compete with anybody.
Yeah.
I think she could beat, you know, I wouldn't put her at 700. You know, if you really want to put it down, take the best male guy and let her play one-on-one.
Like her versus, like, Federer, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That really would be awesome. Hey, Scotty, how was NASCAR this weekend?
A road course. Kevin Harvick actually won for the first time at Sonoma. You know, a lot of people don't like the road course races. They feel like there's not enough passing, not enough action. Stewart Haas Racing finishing 1-2 for the first time this year with him and Clint Bowyer.
Scotty, how are you behind the wheel? I'm just curious. How are you behind the wheel? Like when you get behind the car, you know.
I don't.
No, you don't?
No, I don't.
You don't drive.
I'm a city boy.
So, yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed watching NASCAR. I don't, so I don't care.
I actually didn't catch a lot of the race yesterday, though. Sean was watching it. But we covered something really interesting on the Father and Son Fantasy NASCAR Hour this week that you should listen to on demand. Is like now a lot of the NASCAR drivers, we talk about fantasy football guys in contract years. There are fantasy NASCAR guys that are actually in – it's this point of the season where they call it the, quote, silly season because – a lot of the drivers now are angling for new contracts and new sponsors, so it might affect their performance.
Good luck. Thanks, Scott. Thanks for the NASCAR update. Yeah. We really needed that this morning.
I'm sorry not everybody's a sheep like you.
Not everybody's
popular.
The fantasy executive. That's what everybody's not.
Not everybody's a big mouth hot air balloon. Yeah.
Since we're talking obscure sports, the Rangers did have the 7th pick in the NHL draft Friday night.
What does that mean?
Well, they got some European player.
Okay.
Senator. Yeah. He's a senator. A senator. I can't even speak now. He plays center.
Oh, center. All right.
He's not a senator.
No, he's not a senator.
Okay.
It's not Marco Rubio, one of those guys coming out.
Corey, what's up next with the OGs today, man?
Coming up on the OGs, we're going to talk about bad teams. Teams that were bad last year. We're going to look at their rosters, see what kind of improvements they make, and we'll see if we can find some fantasy value on some teams like the Rams, the Browns, you know, the Jaguars, the teams that stunk last year.
There you go. That's coming, of course, next hour here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Sorry.
Matt Modica, Corey Parson, George Kurtz. They'll have you covered. It'll go until 11 a.m. Eastern Time, where the guys, the rock stars, as Corey likes to say, of On Target Fantasy, will go 2 hours from there, 11 to 1. That is going to do it for us here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. For Matty Modica, Wall Street, for the King, Scott Angle, and the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, my name is Greg Sussman. Have a fantastic Monday afternoon. I'll see you right back here tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern, for another edition of the Roto Experts in the Morning. We'll get through with Monday together, everybody. You'll do it by listening to Fantasy Sports Radio Network. See ya.